Welcome back to an episode of Wiredly Inspired with your co-host Steve Blizinchenko and
Taylor Passagnik.
On this episode, we have a very special guest, Angie Doss. She comes to us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I met Angie a few months ago on Facebook. With building an online business in digital marketing, I've been able to work and expand and try to find people to connect with. Angie and I hit it off right away. It's like we've kind of been friends for decades. Angie is absolutely one of the most kind, caring, and positive people I've been able to have the pleasure of meeting, and not just online, but in life in general. She is a huge support system for me, someone I am able to learn from, and someone I truly admire. Angie has a story like most of us do, but what she has gone through as a young woman, the steps she took to move past those challenges and to create the kind of healthy, mental, tough, super successful life she has is truly inspirational. Now, we're honored to have Angie join us on the show to share with us her unique journey that's made her the incredible woman she is today. So thank you, Angie, and welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for that kind introduction, Steve. The feeling is definitely mutual. Thank you for having me.
I think we really want to just start out with painting the picture more for Steve and I and our audience on
what was Angie doing at 16, 18, 20 years old?
So the way I like to tell my story, it's a bit different than a lot of people that maybe you've heard about in the network marketing space, which is, I think, what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the successful people that I see in this industry, everybody has that rags to riches story, right? Everybody's got that story. Oh, you know, I was homeless. I was living out of my car and, you know, I couldn't make ends meet and this and that. And now they're making six or seven figures. I've heard a lot of those stories. I don't have that story. I didn't come from that. I grew up in a very loving home. We were not well to do like rich, but we were very comfortable. So never had issues with that. I've had, you know, childhood issues, just like any child. We all have things that we've gone through in life. I did have some sexual abuse at a young age. My dad was abusive to my mother without my knowing for many years growing up. But that never really affected me too much. I felt like I was kind of a special child, quote unquote, if you will. I have two sisters and I'm the middle child. And both of my sisters were always very sick. They were, you know, struggled in school. Like, they were like your average children. But I felt like I was a gifted child. I made honor roll without hardly putting any effort in. My mom always said I was a happy baby. She said, you never cried. You were always so happy. And I was also the child that never got sick. We go to the hospital for my sisters. My medical bill chart was like zero, like so little. You know, I would go for regular checkups, but I never was sick. So I felt like, you know, maybe I'm special, maybe a little bit. Anyway, I felt that way. So I've just always, you know, looked at the bright side of things. I've always been a very positive person. I make friends easily, kind of breezed my way through school. And then I got into high school and my parents divorced, like out of the blue. I was like, what's going on? Like, I thought we had, you know, great life and everything. And little did I know, my mother had admitted herself into a hospital because she was going to commit suicide.
And oh, no way.
I was like, what is she doing here? What is she doing? Like, we went to go visit her. I was like, what are you doing here, mom? You know, like in ninth grade. I didn't know, but all the years growing up, she was covering up all the emotional abuse. My father was cheating and he was an alcoholic and things. And I didn't even know. Just had no clue. She kept it from us. My dad was always gone. He was in the military. So I don't know. I just thought he was at work all the time. Right. So I didn't know that. So anyway, so when I found that out, it just really took a hit on me and I developed an eating disorder. It was like a way for me to control something in my life. I felt like I didn't have control. Like my mother wasn't there for me. My dad was gone. I don't know. It was just a way for me to have some attention, I guess. And it just got out of hand. So I developed an eating disorder, went really extreme with it. I got down to 75 pounds at 5'6".
Oh, wow.
I was hospitalized.
Just to pause for a moment, sorry, Angie, just because I think it's so important, because it's not talked about, mental health, all that is getting more and more out there and more exposure, obviously, more awareness. But just for the females out there, because, you talk about eating disorders, that's very prominent. It's not so much in males. Mm-hmm. It's very rare, right?
Right.
Obesity is a thing, blah, blah, blah. But just for the females out there, just to touch on it a little bit, what age were you when you were like, okay, like I have an eating disorder, or like when you started developing it?
That was in my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
So like great. Is when it started. Yeah. It started out as just a way to lose weight. I started out just, getting on a diet. In fact, my father was the one that triggered it. He made a comment one day, like, aren't you getting a little chubby? He was that type of person. Dang. He wanted us to be kind of like, my mother was like the trophy wife, and he wanted, we had to look a certain way and be a certain way. And when he made that comment, it really hit me hard. And so I decided I was going to go to the gym, start working out. My mother and I went together, and I was maybe 20 pounds overweight, not huge, but we started going to the gym, and I really enjoyed working out. I enjoyed eating healthy. My mother and I were doing it together. So it was a way for us to have something that we did as for us. And I realized that I could lose weight easily. Like every day we would go to the gym, every time I would get on the scale, my weight was down half a pound to a pound. And I was like, I feel like I have a gift. Like anything that I do, I just feel like I just pick it up easily, because I know so many people struggle to lose weight. And I just felt like it was easy for me. And so started losing weight. And then when I lost about 10 pounds, people were really starting to notice, oh, you're looking so good. And all this feedback, everyone's like, oh, you just look amazing. And I was feeling good in my skin. And of course, when you have that, a lot of times we think more is better. Well, let me lose even more, because I'm getting all this positive feedback. It was one positive thing happening in my life at this time. And so I continued to lose weight, and I got down to a little bit lower than I probably should have. And then the compliment started to turn into concerns. I think you're good. I don't think you need to lose any more weight. And I just thought, well, of course they're telling me that, because, they're jealous because they can't lose the weight. And so then that's when the addiction kicked in, and it just became an addiction where I became obsessed with losing weight. Every day I wanted to lose another pound, and I just continued on the cycle. And it just got to the point where I would only eat like 300-400 calories a day. I was working out like 3 hours a day, and it just got out of hand. But it was like my subconscious took over. I didn't even know. It was like on autopilot. Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing, but I wasn't letting anything stop me. And this is what, if anybody's been in an addiction before, this is how it works. And so this is like, I look at eating disorders as no different from any other extreme addiction, whether it be drugs, alcohol.
Right.
It's hard to stop once you start. You want that high. You want to, you have a gift. You have something that not everybody has access to. And so that's kind of how it happened. And so it got to the point where my parents got really concerned, because I was to the point where I was skin and bones. But it's hard to explain it unless you've been there. But even though I was so skinny, and I knew I was skinny, I didn't want to gain the weight. I didn't want to gain any more weight. I still felt like I could lose a little bit more. So I would cover up. I would wear four or five layers of clothes to cover up how skinny I was, so I could continue losing weight. It was just, it was so bizarre, and it's hard to comprehend unless you've been there.
Right.
But, it got to that point. And then one day my mother saw me with little clothes on, and she immediately took me to the hospital and had to admit me to the, because I just wasn't going to get well on my own. So that's how that started. I fought that. I did not want to go. Of course, I didn't want to be locked up. I was in a juvenile home they didn't have a hospital for eating disorders, like specialized in. So I was on a ward with a bunch of juveniles that were in there for suicide. So was like, again, this special child. So you have all these kids that have all this trauma, and they're in there for all these different reasons and stuff. And I was in there like, trying to give everybody love and hugging everybody and made friends with everybody. And people are like, what are you here for? Like, you're not, mm-hmm. you know, but that's, they, it was the only place I could go. So it wasn't, even though I had gone through that period of my life, it was still, to me, it was not traumatizing. And I don't know why.
Like, yeah, that's crazy.
I went through it for some reason, but I never felt like, oh my gosh, like it was such a nightmare going through that. No, I felt like I made that choice the whole time and I had control over it. And so
right.
the only thing that I didn't like was I, you know, missed out on school and, you know, prom and homecoming and all those things. Cause I was in and out of the hospital all through my high school years, 9th grade through 12th grade, three different times. I would gain enough weight to be dismissed out of the hospital. You know, I had to reach a certain weight. But in my mind, I couldn't wait to get home so I could lose that weight again. Like, but I would just like play it cool. Like, yeah, I'm good. I'm healthy. As soon as I got home, I was exercising like crazy, not eating, hiding my food, you know, and it just started again. And then I would lose the weight and then I would get admitted again. And the cycle, it happened three times until the end of my high school year. I just was like, I don't want to go back in here. I don't want to spend any more time in this hospital. Like, I've got to stay, at least stay at a weight where I can stay out of here, right?
So
the weight to maintain was 90 pounds, which is still very, very low. But it wasn't to the point where I was, like, going to die. That is what they thought. So I maintained that 90 pounds for a few years after high school. And mentally, I still wasn't well. I still weighed myself every day. If I went 91 pounds, that was going to be a catastrophe. So I made sure I stayed at 90. So,
no way. Hey. Wow.
Yeah. So it kept me from a lot of things. Didn't have the boyfriends and, you know, I worked a lot. You know, I enjoyed my work and did really well with that. And so that's a little bit about the eating disorder. I could go on forever about that, but
yeah,
I hope shared a little bit about that.
I mean, what I think is something that I wrote down that I thought was a little interesting is you developed a disorder because of, you know, kind of sounds like because of your parents. You thought everything was well, and then you did it because you wanted to have control in your life. Where, you know, when I think of why a lot of people have eating disorders, usually to me, or what I've came across, it's usually because of, you know, comparison, you know, the magazine, the Maxim girls in magazines and swimsuit models, and all the guys want girls like that. You want to lose all this weight to be pretty, or you get bullied because you're overweight and stuff like that. But yours was completely different. It was to have control, which is something, honestly, I don't think I've heard a lot of, is that yours was from that aspect, which was, I thought was kind of interesting, that it was a control thing more than anything, which is,
I think so. Yeah. And then I also wanted the approval of my father because he was the one that thought I was chubby and, you know, he's the one that left after the divorce. And I really wanted his approval because he was hardly ever around. And so I think that was a factor too, you know.
So the divorce was really hard on you and your sister and your siblings, I guess.
Yeah, it was very hard.
Just because you know, it's crazy when you think things are so good and then you're just kind of blindsided by something like that in life.
Yeah, and my mom was so close and so dear to me, and to see her in the hospital, like, I was just in such shock. You know, like how is any of this happening? Like everything just happened so quick with the divorce and her in the hospital, and then I didn't see my dad for a long time. And I'm like, what is going on? And then of course I'm entering high school. I'm a freshman in high school. It was so much stress. And so I felt like maybe that was one thing that I had control of.
Thank you so much for being open and vulnerable and just sharing that. Because I know it is a kind of a sensitive topic for most people, regardless if it was 10, 5, 20 plus years ago. So thank you so much for sharing that. If you're speaking to, like, let's just say another Angie that was in a situation like that, you know, a one-on-one with another female that felt pretty much like you in that situation, or you're talking to 50, 100 plus women, like what kind of suggestions, advice, or tips would you give them?
Well,
that regard, sorry.
When I when I thought about it, you know, of course, I've thought about it so many times after the fact, like, what would I have changed? What could I have done differently? How can I share my story to impact somebody else's life? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a lot of people out there going through this and worse. And one thing that really hit me was the fact that I was always seeking approval from others. I didn't have, like, when I went through sexual abuse at a young age, I lost the love for myself. I didn't feel worthy. I felt dirty. I felt I couldn't tell anybody about it. It was like, you know, so that was part of it. And so my I don't know, that affected me, and I didn't think it did, but it did later. I realized it did. And then when my father said that to me, I let his opinion and his words affect me and who I was. And I really was an amazing child, you know, made good grades. I excelled in all the sports, like anything that I tried, I just did really well with. But I let one comment like knock me down. And so,
right.
Yeah, I feel like, and maybe it was a self-love thing. So,
right.
Yeah, we have to really be mindful of what we say to other people, but also just be aware of people have opinions. People are going to say things, other things outside of you are going to happen in life. You cannot let that affect you internally. And right. I let all these external forces control my life in a sense.
Right. Yeah. No
Absolutely.
Kidding.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you said two things that really resonated with me is one, first, awareness, and, you know, don't take things too personally. Right. Yeah. Like things are going to be said, things are going to be thrown at you. You're going to have to crawl through the dirt. You can think of yourself as beautiful or not beautiful or great and not so great. And people are still going to, you know, throw you the opposite of what you think of yourself. And you're just going to have to, you know, take it at face value and not take it so personal and beat yourself
Absolutely.
Up and then and spiral that way. So, no, thank you. Thanks again for sharing that.
Well, you know, and I think
absolutely.
Self-worth seems to be something that's so damaged at such a young age. And there's so many aspects to how that happens. I mean, obviously with sexual abuse, that's a big one. Being bullied, you know, aggressive parents, you know, whatever it might be. Self-worth is just something that I think people don't realize they have major issues with, especially growing up. And you don't realize that they're maybe something that you need to work on until certain things come to the forefront. And I wish self-worth was something that they taught more in school and taught people how to deal with a lot of that stuff, because we compare ourselves, you know, growing up, we compare ourselves to everybody. You know, we want to fit in, we want to make friends, we want to do this. And then there's the statistics with abuse and, you know, from, and then divorces happening in people's lives at such a bit, like there's so much that really damages a person's, you know, mental health and overall self-worth. Sometimes it's just crazy that, you know, we talk about it more nowadays, but it's just something I feel like is overlooked, like a lot of other things in, you know, our traditional education system. Personally, I think that could be something that we taught a little bit more in maybe health class or some other forms of class, like financial education and other things like that. We just don't spend enough time on the real shit that matter. And that's one of them.
You're right. You're right. And really, if we do, always express it, find somebody that you trust, a big brother, a big sister, family, somebody, if you're going through something, reach out to somebody and let them know that you're going through something. Don't try to do it. Like I try to do everything alone. Like, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody. I was to be seen and not heard as a child. And so I didn't have a voice. And so I found other ways to, I don't know, express or get those things out. Some of it I, you know, tucked down, but, you know, it wasn't the healthiest way to handle situations. But, you know, just for the younger generation, just know it's best to reach out to somebody.
Yeah, no kidding. And I mean, especially with sexual abuse, it's, you know, you mentioned that you kind of felt dirty and everything, and you didn't really talk about it. And I've heard that be fairly common with a lot of people as well. My daughter's mom actually was abused as a child, without going into too much detail. And she, it was something that really obviously affected her, and then something that she didn't talk about it either for the longest time. And then, you know, when you do bring it up, the response that she received from some of the people that she really cared about was not a very supportive, not the type of response you'd kind of expect. So it kind of even hurt her a little bit more. So, I mean, that's huge. And that people, you know, just know that you got to talk to somebody and talk to somebody you trust and talk to somebody that, you know, you can, whether it's sexual abuse or any kind of things going on in your world, that, you know, it's, you can't be alone with things. And as strong as we think that we are and that nobody's going to care, it's just not a good place to be in to feel alone, especially dealing with major issues. You know, you gotta seek out help. You can't be scared to ask for help, I guess, is really the message I'm trying to say there, is that so many people are scared to bother other people, or that they're, you know, that their stuff doesn't matter, or, you know, there is shame and guilt and a lot of negative feelings that come with, especially, you know, physical, mental and abuse in general. Like you feel shameful because it happened to you. And then that, you know, who do you talk to and what they're going to think about you when you bring it up. And it's just all that whirlwind of stuff that it's so important that, you know, make sure you talk to people about whatever you're going through, even if it's the smallest thing. Like, mental health is no joke. And especially abuse is no joke too. You know, I'm glad we're living in an era now that we talk about more of these things, that we're spending more time with, you know, educating and talking about mental health along with many other things we're doing, you know, positively in our society nowadays. As much as people want to focus on the negative, we are doing a lot of really good things. And talking about, you know, abuse and mental health in general is just such an important topic that people are spending more time, you know, bringing the attention to, which I think is, you know, really awesome that we're doing that as a society nowadays.
Yes, absolutely. Getting to the root of the problem and really healing from it. Because if you don't and you just stuff it down, it will resurface again years later in another way. Right. And you'll self-sabotage. It'll happen again. Like, it happened to me repeated times as an adult because I did not heal from that. And so subconsciously I attracted it again years later.
Right.
And then I saw the repeated cycle, I was like, oh, when I finally understood how the subconscious mind worked, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like so important to heal from your wounds, because they're not just going to go away. And a lot of them are tucked down, and you'll be triggered by something. And that's usually the prompt that I like to use to know, oh, if I'm triggered by anything, that means that's something I need to work on and heal within myself.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, kind of two things that come to mind talking about that is like, people, you know, people don't heal from their stuff. And I think there's a saying that, like, if you have wounds that you haven't healed from, then you'll bleed on other people that don't deserve it.
Yes, I think
it's something along those lines. I might've messed up how that actually works, what that saying is. And it's so true. Like, you project it onto other people. And then
hurt people. Yes. I put as a post on our Instagram page. Yeah. It's so true. That's why it's just like, you know what? I'm not even going to take this personally. You're just a hurt person. You know, I'm going to leave you be. I'm going to save my energy and time and efforts. And I'm not even upset. I just know, hey, you're in a bad place, and it's your own problem. Sorry. No, I love that. You're very experienced, and like I said, very aware. So I love that about you.
Yeah. The second aspect was that you touched on, that people kind of have to take full responsibility to recognize that they're attracting these same cycles and that they're the common denominator. Somebody said it to me once. I don't know how they worded it again. I'm going to butcher it, but they said like you're just attaching different faces to a story that already exists. You know, like, it's, you know, whether it's relationships or whatever it might be, you're kind of like, oh, I have like all these broken relationships. It's all their fault, or it's this girl, or what, for me, you know, girl, whatever it might be. But then you're like, but then you look at the situation, like, no, it's just like this repeated cycle, but just a different face to like hash out my story, or kind of like keep, you know, so I can keep singing that same story that we kind of do subconsciously. Like, it's all, this always happens to me, or blah, 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 you know, like that continued story that people live inside their mind. And then they just find reasons to justify it. And by justifying it, they just source out unknowingly similar people to feed that story, that narrative that's going on inside their mind. So, you know, you have to start being like, wow, okay, like, I want to change this narrative and I want a different outcome. So how is that going to happen? Well, it's got to be with me. It can't be with anybody else. Like, nobody's coming to save me. You know, I love that's something that's always on social media and stuff. Now you see that all the time. Like, nobody's coming to save you. Like, you gotta figure it out. You gotta take full responsibility. Like, the ships are burnt. Like, you're not swimming back. You gotta figure this thing out. You gotta move forward. It's such a good point to bring that up to you.
Yeah, save yourself, heal yourself. Otherwise, it will resurface. The same thing happened with a narcissistic relationship I was in. I attracted a man that was just like my father to the T.
Okay,
and
yeah.
That was a wake-up call for me. I was like, why do I keep attracting these? It was like the third guy that I attracted this way. And then That's when I realized, okay, all of this is all my doing. I'm manifesting all of these things because your subconscious, 95% of the show is run by your subconscious. And so For whatever reason, the familiar reality from my father, I was seeking the approval in these men because I never got the approval from my father. And it's so weird how it all happens. But all this stuff, again, just will resurface until you break the cycle and heal from it. And yeah. I have so many stories and so many experiences that were all the lessons. I was like, so now anytime something happens, I look within. Okay, what is it that I'm doing that I'm attracting? I'm attracting these people or I'm attracting these situations. If you see a repeated cycle, It's something within yourself.
Right.
It's not so-and-so's fault. You attracted that. We attract who we are, right? So that's the lesson that I, after many of times, finally caught on. And I was able to, I don't know, I won't say all because they say that you'll never heal all of your wounds. But I've healed many because then I started seeking them. I was like, okay, what else do I have that I haven't healed from yet? Because I didn't want to attract it. I didn't want it to resurface again. Let me go ahead and knock it out now before I go through that trauma again. And so then I would look for triggers. I would look for things. And yeah, so.
Vicious
it's all
cycle.
Within self.
And we all run our own narratives. And we all run our own cycles. And self-awareness is such a, you find so much power with self-awareness, and that's really what it comes down to is self-awareness and full responsibility and like take back the power, take back the control. You know, the more you point fingers outside, you're giving control every single time you do that to another person, another circumstance or another situation. And as soon as you start being like, take the reins back a little bit and realize that you're responsible for all of that. Like you said, you're manifesting that, you're attracting that, you're subconsciously searching for those things. In order for that to change, you need to be like, okay, it's me. Like I gotta figure out my stuff. And I gotta stop looking at outside sources for the reasons these things are happening. You know, it's not outside sources, it's all within. And that's a powerful thing that you mentioned. Like you started going, anytime you have a trigger, you go inward. And that's such a powerful thing to do. And a lot of people don't do it. And I think that's an important thing to mention. And if anybody can grab, you know, we got a lot more stuff to go through, but if anybody can, you know, really take some value, I mean, when you have a trigger, definitely look within. I mean, that's a huge, huge portion of personal development and self-love, self-growth, self-awareness, all that stuff. You got to look within.
Absolutely.
So let's transition here a little bit, if we may. So high school, it happened. We talked about it. What's Angie doing at 2025?
Okay. So out of high school, I told you, I feel like I've always had a gift and I'm a yes person. Like I'll try a new sport and I'll just do really well, like right out the gate. And so I'm like, I'm going to try this. I'm always wanting to try something new. I like challenges. I don't have a lot of fears. Like I used to jump off the roof of the house and stuff, just like, and I would land on my feet. I'm like, I have got magical powers, guys. Like, you know, so out of high school, I was working for my sister. She had a candy store and I worked part time for her. I had two jobs. I always liked to work. And, she needed a manager to run a store in 2 hours north in a bigger city. And this is right out of high school. I was still living at home, never been out on my own. I didn't know anything about this new town, but I was like, well, let me go check it out. You know, Baton Rouge, you know, it's capital city. Let me just drive for the weekend. So I drive there and it's probably four times bigger than my hometown. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I'm going to be working in the mall. Like everything was bigger and better. And I was like, I called my sister. I said, let's do it. I'm ready. She's like, okay. I didn't know anything about anything. So I found a cheap little apartment, moved on my own, just like within the next weekend. I'm just that type of like very spontaneous because I don't know. I just, that's who I am. moved to Baton Rouge and I get this apartment, not to my knowing, was in the ghetto, you know, because, well, one, the price was there, but I'm not thinking logically as a child. I'm like, okay, the price is really, really good. And the apartment's nice. I move into this apartment complex, and this is how I still didn't get it. Went to the leasing office to sign my paperwork, and she said, baby, I'm going to put you in this apartment right here close to the office. And really, she was in it so she could keep an eye on me because she knew I was not safe.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, thanks. That's so nice of you. Like, I'm just like in my own little world. You know, everything is so good. And so I had a bike, and I used to ride around the neighborhood, and I'm like the only white child in this neighborhood. And I would just, you know, by myself, white girl, just going, you know, headphones on, just like not even a care in the world. And, you know, I think I had three of my hubcaps taken off my car. I had my gas siphoned out of my car at the apartment complex. I left my door unlocked twice, you know, over the year that I was there overnight when I was asleep. I'm like, years later, I'm like, God was protecting me this whole time. I was living my own world, but I was still protected because I didn't have fear. Now, if I would have had fear, like, oh my gosh, I'm living in the ghetto and, you know, things would have happened to me because I know how the subconscious, but I don't live there. I don't live in fear. Mm. I never have. And so
that's amazing.
I feel like that's how I was divinely guided and protected. So anyway, I started working at a candy store. Loved that job. I also get bored very easily. So was there for about 2 years and I was like, I need a challenge. I need something different. Went to culinary school, did that for a year. But yeah, I love to cook, but I was like, I don't want to do this forever. All the dirty work. After that, had a couple management jobs in retail. So I've always been kind of like in management positions. That's kind of, I like to be the boss. I don't like to, you know, be told what to do. I actually even went into the military thinking, okay, maybe I was looking for my calling. Like, what do I want? I'm trying to find the thing that's for me. My dad was military. Okay, I'll go military. I wanted to move to Hawaii anyway. They promised me they would station me in Hawaii if I signed up. I fell for it. Signed up and went to boot camp and only made it 4 weeks out of the 6 weeks. And I didn't like them telling me what to do and was like, I'm out of here. This is not it either. And so that I kind of was like looking for my thing. Well, I started dating a guy. I was working at Target at the time. I was a manager there. I started dating a guy there and we got really serious. We were dated for many years and I just was still job hopping. I was like looking for the thing, you know, and he's like, you have got to stay put. You cannot every 2 years be, you know, jumping around. He said, it looks terrible on your resume. It looks bad on your records. Like you need to stay put. And I'm like, I know, but I'm just like, I can't find what I want to do. Like, none of this is making me happy and I do what I want to do. That's always kind of been my mindset. Like, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Right. Just, you don't like the military, just get out. Like they don't just let you out of stuff. But for some reason, that's what I did. So he was I worked out this, you know, I was still working out. I was still, you know, keeping my weight at 90 pounds. I was still very obsessed with all that.
Oh my goodness. So crazy.
Every day I was biking for 2 hours a day. I would bicycle all over the town. Just like on the interstate, like no helmet, just like, you know, whatever.
You're a wild child.
And he was like, right. Kind of that. And so he said, well, why don't you just start working at a gym or something? He said, you always working out, you know, all that stuff. And I was like, you know what? That is brilliant. That is brilliant. So I, that same day, went to the nearest gym in town, applied for the job, and I got it immediately. Started working there part-time at the front desk. I love the atmosphere, the people. It was just amazing. I just was like, this is it. I love this. But I was still this skinny child that all I knew was cardio. I didn't know anything about weight training. But I would see these fitness models and chicks and stuff come in that would like do competitions and stuff. And I was like in awe. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to look like that. So then I feel like the fitness was like the catalyst to my healing. A switch in my brain went off and I was like, I want to look like that. I don't know how she did it. That's the new me. And so went to the store, got all the fitness magazines I could find. And I was reading them cover to cover, trying to,
amazing,
you know, teach myself how to work out and eat right. And then I decided to be certified to be a fitness coach, because if I can be a personal trainer, one, I'm going to teach myself how to do everything properly, because that's really what I want first, and right, to look like these other ladies. And then two, I can make this as a career. I love fitness so much. This is like recess all day long. Why not? And so I did that, went to school, I got certified, and I started training. And I within a year, it's so crazy how it works. Within a year, I had put on 30 pounds of muscle. I had so many clients. I never had to do any advertising. I had clients out the wazoo. And I don't even remember a lot of this. I feel like a quantum leap to when this whole year happened. I manifested a dream home and a new job position, having my own fitness facility and everything, like within a year. And again, I feel like, okay, I have a gift. Wow. I don't know what it was, but I manifested all of these things and life was so good. Then, you know, so I found my calling, you know, I was happy. I was so grateful. I was so blessed in every way possible. And then 16 years later, I'm still a fitness coach. I love it. Never been bored, never been burned out. I've always had an overabundance of clients and I love it. I love it. So that's how I ended up in fitness. And that's how I healed from my eating disorder, from the mental. I feel like I healed myself.
Right. You
know, it was no therapist that did it. It was sometimes it's something that will trigger it, or you'll have an aha moment that will reprogram your subconscious mind. It could be anything. It just, feel like it's divine timing and God's calling when your time is ready, you know? And so that's kind of how it happened for me.
Good job for your boyfriend suggesting that one, I guess. Hey?
Yeah. Oh, what a blessing. He was a doll.
No kidding. Yeah. I love that. I love that reference. I love you. I love when you call people dolls. I love that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So wow. That's amazing. I mean, you've said you kind of manifested it. So when did you kind of, was that just a natural like train of thought that you've always had with like being able to manifest and understanding subconscious and stuff like that? Or is that something that you kind of got into? Or you were just, you just kind of always naturally been that way as far as your gift goes.
Been that way. And we are all master manifestors. A lot of times we get in our own way. And I didn't realize it until years later when I got into network marketing and personal development, what manifesting, I had to even, one of the people I was working with was like, we're talking about manifestation. I was like, I had to look it up. I had to Google, what is manifestation? What is that word? I couldn't understand it.
Right.
And then later I was like, oh my gosh, I manifested this and this and this and this and this. We do it all the time, good or bad.
That's true.
And then I realized, oh, well, this is why I manifested this and this and this. Everything was in alignment, good or bad.
Crazy.
And I'm not one that like gets in my own way when it comes to things that I want. I'm just like, yeah, let's do it. I don't think, oh, what will happen if, and then you stop it, right? You stop
the
I'm just like, come on. I excel at all the things that I do. Let's do it. And then I don't stress about it. I let it go. And because I know it's coming to me. And that's really how manifestation works. And I'm like, oh, wow, amazing. This is so cool how it all happens. But then when I started studying and understanding manifestation, then I was trying to control it and then trying to manifest things against my own natural abilities. And so then I started stopping myself. but you really have to just allow it in. You cannot force a manifestation, because then you're chasing it, and then you're pushing it away, because anything you chase, it runs. So lots of lessons learned there.
Well, I think you are, I mean, I think you saying that you were gifted, I hearing that now, I think that's so true, because I don't know if there's a stat for this out there, but I would have to say there's a very small percentage of people that have this natural manifestation gift that you had, even though you didn't realize what manifestation was at the time, but you saying words like, I just thought about this dream home and I just thought about this and this just happened. Like you had that natural thought process, where other people are like, they'll have to like read a book or like, oh, Bob Proctor is talking about manifestation and so on. And you're like, you're just like born that way. Like, I think that is a gift in itself. Like, being I think a happy you're so child. Right. Yeah, I guess being just a naturally happy side. So you were super happy with all the fitness. And I think this is kind of interesting because you got into network marketing, but you were happy doing what you were doing, right? Like you were happy. Yeah. And that's
another freaky story.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think I heard that Eric Worre, I just listened to him recently. He said that most people join because of inspiration or desperation.
Yeah.
And you didn't join exactly. for either. It sounds like you were really. You're already happy and you had all these things. It was, you know, kind of amazing. Life was good. And then, so I guess segueing, like, when were you introduced to the network marketing profession? And then also, what was it about it that really intrigued you the most, being that you were already completely happy in your situation? Because, you know, most people that understand network marketing, you know, a lot of people, the approach is kind of like, do you keep your options open? Are you locked into what you're doing? You know, typically speaking, I think most people that seek, you know, a network marketing opportunity are, they want more income or they're uninspired or they, you know, so on and so forth. It's usually not like I'm the happiest person ever. Like I don't, right. You know what I mean? So I'd like to know a little bit about that part and when you were introduced and why, and the interest that you had in it, being that you were, you know, tickled pink doing what you were doing already.
Yes. So, you know, all great things happen when you are not coming from a place of lack. You're not coming from a place of desperation. When you just flowing through life and then things just magically pop into your lap. Like you hear these stories of people in like the best relationships, hashtag relationship goals. And you're like, how did you guys meet? And they're like, oh yeah, it's so crazy. And we were at a party or, you know, my best friend hooked us up on a blind date. It was something, and we didn't even like each other, you know? And, you know, the next thing you know, they're best friends. And the next thing you know, 20 years later, they're the happiest loving couple ever. Neither one of them were searching for a relationship. It happens because they're both two very bubbly, happy people enjoying life, loving themselves, good within themselves. And it just kind of happened for them. They were blessed with it because they, you know, so that's, I kind of think that that's what it was for me. I was working out in the gym, training a client, and a kid came up to me interrupting our session. He was like, oh, you know, can you use supplements? You know, trying to give me some samples and some products. And I was like, yeah, kid, you know, I'm in the middle of a session right now, but if you want to just put them on my desk, you know, I'll get to them later, you know. Bye. And he's like, okay. Well, you mind if I'll check in with you later, see how you like it? And I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I just like, go away. Like, I didn't say it like that, but that's in my mind. I was like, but, you're interrupting our session. But he's a rookie in the network marketing space, right?
Yeah, but the pair of balls on this guy. You know, I just have to say,
sponsor was like, go get him, go sick him.
Well, apparently,
because this industry. Just go.
Yeah, but
and he knew, he said, I'm sure he thought, and he told me this later, he said, I knew if I got you on board, you were going to blow my business up. Okay. Because you had all these clients, you could sell these supplements to, you're outgoing, you're a yes person, you know, this and that. He said, I just knew you were going to do it. And so he Amazing. Said, I just had to face that fear and do it, right? So I put the samples on my desk, I put them in my bag, didn't think anything of it. Next day he texted me to follow up. I had forgotten about him. I was like, I'm so sorry. Forgot to. It was like a natural pre-workout and like a fat burner, like all organic, all natural, which is unheard of. If you've been in the fitness room, you know, you can't find that stuff anywhere.
Yeah,
I'm very much into holistic health and stuff. And so I was like, look, I'll try it tomorrow. I'll let you know what I think. And he's like, okay. So he follows up the next day. And again, I forgot. And it ended up 5 days later, 5 days in a row, I kept forgetting to take this supplement to give him my feedback. And I finally was like, I am so sorry. I'm putting it on that counter. Tomorrow morning when I wake up, I am going to try this stuff and I will let you know so you can get off my back. And so I can, you know, so I try these products and it gave me the most amazing energy. I felt so, it was like smooth. It wasn't that high and the, you know, like you get the crash and the stuff like with energy drinks and stuff, and it was all natural. And I was like, man, this stuff is good. It cut my appetite. And at this point, you know, I could lose about 5 pounds So I was like, yes, I have tried them. I love it. Where can I get it? And he was like, okay, well, what time you get off work on Friday? And I'm like, kid, you're like, you're already annoying me. Like, can you just bring it to the gym? Let me order it. You know, he's like, oh, can you meet me at the Chick-fil-A when you get off on Friday, which was right down the street from the gym. I'm like, and at this point I wanted those products. Like, they made me feel so good. It was like crack, right? I'm like, okay, I'll meet you there 6 o'clock on Friday. Be there, right? And so right. Friday comes around. I'm tired. It's been a long week. I'm ready to go home. I go over there to meet him. I don't know this guy. Like, I only come to the gym like one time. Don't know this guy. I get there. I'm a little early. I'm waiting around. You know, 6 o'clock rolls around. He's not there. And I'm like, oh, okay. Gosh. Like, I am ready to go home. I'm impatient at this point. I was like, where is this kid? Right. So I said, well, let me give him a couple of minutes. A couple of minutes later, he's not there. So I text him. I'm like, hey, are you on your way? Like, hello.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. My bad. He said, I'm stuck at work. He's a car salesman. Oh, I got stuck at work. He said, but two of my buddies are on their way right now to come meet you. I was like, what in the world is going on here? I don't know you, first of all. Now two of your buddies are coming to meet me. Two of your stranger friends are coming to meet me to get these products. Like, the whole thing is just weird.
And that is weird, yeah.
Like, I'm going to give it another minute. And if these guys don't show up, I'm out of here, right? So I wait around and they didn't show. I gave it 1 minute and I was counting down. So I get up to walk out. As soon as I'm walking through the door, these two guys walking in the door. Oh, you must be Angie, right? So we, you know, sat down to talk a little bit. Two very attractive men, by the way. So I was like, you know what? I'll listen to what they have to say. Like, I don't have anything else to do today. All of a sudden, my mood changed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
like, hey, how you doing? I'll listen to what you're saying.
What are y'all saying? And look, they're empty-handed, too. Like, no products or anything. I'm like, what y'all doing? You know, so we're talking. One of the guys was also a fitness trainer, so we hit it off right away, rapport. The other guy was into working out and stuff and just very charismatic. Cool guys. So we're getting to know each other for about 30 minutes or so. And I was like, oh, by the way, I'm here to pick up some products. Good to meet you guys, but I'm really here to, you know, pick the stuff up from this kid.
And I'm where's the goods?
Yeah. Right. So there was no presentation. There was no talk about what he was trying to do was get me face to face, you know, because that is the best way. It's hard to reject somebody if you're face to face. And he knew what he was doing. He got another fitness trainer, two very attractive guys. Well, I'll let them go and close the deal, right? So I didn't understand this back then, but so I was like, yeah, I'm here to pick up these products. They're like, yeah, we're going to show you how to order these products. And then one of the guys was like, by the way, would you like us to show you how you can get these products for free? Well, any female, you know, we like free stuff. We like, especially, I mean, these products were not cheap. And I was like, well, how does that work? But yeah, I'm all for that. Like, but I need to sign up for like a membership or something. They were like, look, we're having a training tomorrow. We'll give you all the details on how the business works. You do it in your spare time. You know, we're going to teach you every step of the way. We're going to be there. You know, we work as a team, this and that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm buying the products anyway. If you bought the products, you get the business for free, is what they said. I was like, why not? You know, I'll give it a shot. Anything that I do, I usually do pretty well with. I have nothing to lose here.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'll meet you out tomorrow at the training. So the next day I go to the training. And again, I didn't know anything about anything. I've never heard of network marketing. They didn't mention it. There was no presentation, none of that. So I go to the training and that's when I heard about the business model, and I heard about leverage, and I heard about residual income, which I had never heard of. That's not something that's taught in school. And I could do this in my free time. They were going to help me. They had several other team members there. Everybody was very friendly and happy and stuff. And I'm like, wow, why wouldn't I at least try this? This seems so awesome. Like, it was a no brainer for me. I was like, I don't see why people wouldn't do this. Right.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm in it. And when I make up my mind to do something, I'm going to go all in on it because I'm going to excel at it, but I'm doing it. And so I got really like involved in every meeting there was. I was, you know, going to coffee shop meetings. I was attending every training. I was spending all my time on YouTube, looking up every Eric Worre video there was, every trainer I could find. just soaking up all the information because I was going to be the best, right? So, and I knew I could do it as a fitness coach. I was like, well, this is going to be so easy. Just sell it to my clients. They're already asking me, what do you use? You know, what do you recommend for supplements? I was like, I'm going to kill this. This is going to be so awesome. And so that's kind of how the journey went. Well, so yeah, that's how I got started in the industry. It was a total fluke. Like, everything you shouldn't do as a professional in the industry, these guys did it. Tricking me into a meeting, you know, strangers I didn't know signed up right off the gate with the biggest package they had. Like, no presentation was even given. Like, it was against all odds. But I feel, again, like it was just a blessing in disguise that just kind of happened. It just manifested. And, you know, it brought me to where I am today. I'm so grateful that I went with my gut and not like let fear get in the way. Like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? No, you can't overthink things. You know, if it sounds good, if it makes sense to you, you're like, you know, why not? Let's try it. You got to do it. You got to go with that. If I would have said no, oh my gosh, I tell you what, when we went into lockdown, when COVID happened, my gym shut down for 4 months.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to train clients. Didn't have income from that coming in. If it wasn't for network marketing and the income that I had built up, it was residually coming in, I wouldn't have been able to eat. So it was a blessing. And so there's always blessings in everything.
That's an amazing story. I love that. It's like, it goes back to, like you said, no fear, right? You just kind of went with it. You kind of trusted your gut. You're like, whatever. I'll go with it. So you had never, prior to that, you had never heard of network marketing, or as some people would unfortunately call it, MLMs, right? Multi-level marketing. You never heard of that at all, did you?
I didn't. And when I learned a little bit more about it, I was like, wait, I'm not a salesperson. Like, I don't want to do the sales thing. Like, I already have a hard time asking my clients for, you know, to pay when it's time for, you know, a new package or whatever. I don't want to do that. And they were like, no, we're just sharing. We're going to show you how to do it without being salesy and stuff. You know, we're just making recommendations for things we love and use. I'm like, okay. And, but still I didn't understand what network marketing is. But then when somebody mentioned, well, have you heard of Mary Kay or have you heard of Tupperware? And I was like, oh, my mom sold Tupperware when I was a kid and she killed it. She moved to the house and we had Tupperware out of our ears, but she loved it. I never looked at that as a business. I thought it was just something like a hobby that the mom did. Right. You know, I never looked at it anything like that. So I didn't understand it as a business model. You know, my mom didn't make millions of dollars selling stuff, Tupperware. So I never took it as like a serious thing that people really made money in.
So I got a couple of things just before we go on, cause I know we'll evolve this, but, so are you still with that platform and company right now or no?
No. So a lot of things happened while I was, that was small ticket, in MLM. It was supplements, health and wellness supplements. Something I was already in alignment with as a health and wellness coach. It made sense, right? And it was in full alignment there. Mm-hmm. I did pretty well, you know, in the beginning. It was a little bit out of my comfort zone, and I got out of flow from life. You know, my life has always been in flow and life is good and, you know, living in the ghetto, but I don't even know it. Like, that's how I liked it. And then I get here in network marketing, and I got told no more times in 2 days than I have in my whole life. And I just broke down in tears, crying. And I was like, because normally, and everybody loves me. Like, I don't have an enemy. Everybody is my friend. I love people. People love me. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden now, I got 100 no's in 2 days. And I had to make phone calls. And I hated phone calls. Like, I was a texter. I was one of those people that, like, we use our phone for everything except for to call people on it. I was one of those people. And I was made to do phone calls and everything was super awkward. But I did it anyway because they were like, this is what you got to do, you know? So being told no so many times, I just busted out in tears. I had friends that were unfriending me that I thought were my friends, but I had people like blocking me, unfriending me. And then I felt like, this is not my life. Like, what is going on here? Like, for the first time ever, right. Like, things are not good. Like, even when I was in the hospital, I was friends with everybody, and now I'm getting rejected more than ever in my life. And so right. I was like, something is not good here. This doesn't feel good to me. I don't like this. I thought I was just going to be making recommendations, but that's not how it is. Like, that's not how it was taught. It was taught to spam your friends, send them a message, just copy and paste this message to all 100 people in your contact list, right? And I just was like, this doesn't even feel good. I don't want to do it. You right. got to do it if you want to make the money that we're making. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, but I should have went with my gut. But for the first time, I went against my gut. And I did it anyway. And that was the lesson I got from that. I was like, that was not me. That was going against my, you know, beliefs and how I do things. And I did something that I didn't want to do. And so, of course, I wasn't blessed. And so I started having some issues. I wasn't hitting the ranks like I thought I was going to hit. I started comparing myself to all these other people because I'm a winner and now I'm a loser for the first time ever in my life. And I'm like, I don't understand. I hate this. And so I didn't understand. Like, I was like, what is different about me that these other people are doing that I'm not doing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, then there were some things that they were doing that I was not going to do, you know, just not being honest and, you know, tricking people into doing things or just some stuff that just didn't go with my beliefs, my core beliefs.
Yeah. It gets so scuzzy sometimes, right? Like it's like, oh, I can just see right through you. This person is just another, like, their integrity just doesn't match.
Oh, gosh.
Like you said, like I should have trusted my gut instinct and I didn't. I went against the grain and this and that, and it kind of bit me in a way. But you learned a lot. Right. It goes back to awareness and all these other things and growth. And obviously that happened to you for a reason. Right. But what I want to ask you is because we're going to move on here, I don't want to stir away from this question, but because network marketing has such a negative connotation to it, it's got that pyramid scheme. It's just a scam, all that stuff. Right. I do believe, and maybe Steve would agree, and maybe you would too, Angie, that it is getting better because the industry is getting better in a sense in some of the organizations. But what would you say to someone that's like, hey, I've been approached in network marketing before. I've been interested. I know it's a powerful vehicle, but I'm just still on the fence. Like, what would you, just words of encouragement, what would you give someone?
Let me interject for just a second before we go on a different train of thought. Talking about that scuzziness and the scamminess and everything that Angie talked about, we both brought up a guy, his name Eric Worre, who I consider the godfather of network marketing. And he would absolutely rip apart people like that for damaging what he believes is the greatest profession that exists in this world for people to become low entry level entrepreneurs to be able to have a support in a proven system with an environment that truly allows people to have whatever level of successes that they want. But he would chew people apart for spamming and scamming and not building relationships and doing all that crap that gives the industry a bad name. It's that type of behavior that takes this beautiful profession that we're all involved in and absolutely damages the reputation because of the spamming and the scamming and the cold calling and all of that shady, scuzzy, nasty, garbage salesman tactic that right. I like to call it. Like, I absolutely, when I hate that part of people. And honestly, when people message me, I'll be like, you need to get some more training in network marketing because this is not the way you actually contact people. So please don't contact me again. Good luck to you. I absolutely hate that. I was like, and I'll honestly like quit giving this profession such a bad name by acting in this behavior. Like, now it's with all the NFT people. I get NFT messages in my inbox on Instagram on the daily. And it's so annoying. And it's just that scuzziness, and crypto has been like that too. And it's just, I mean, we can go back to the question, but I just wanted to interject and say, you know, like, the true people that understand this profession and how it's supposed to work, look at everybody that acts in that behavior. And unfortunately, some people act in that behavior because they're being told to. You're new in this business like you were, right. And you have these people making all these income, be like, well, hey, if you want to make $1 million a year, man, you got to call 100 people a day.
Right.
And you're just like, well, shit, like, I'd love to make $1 million. I guess if I got to do it, it goes against everything I stand for as a human being, but I guess I'm just going to do it because I want to do that. Well, geez, I got to trust them. I mean, I'm reading this book that says, if people are at a higher level than me, I should listen to what they're saying.
Right.
So, but this guy's being a shady bastard. But I guess I got to do it. I don't know. He's making more money than me.
Well, I had to at least try it because this person had what I didn't have. And so I was like, exactly. Well, he obviously knows more than me. Let me try it. And it just didn't feel good. My gut just wouldn't allow me to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And so then I started seeking out mentors and coaches that were not my direct, right? I was like, I believed in the industry. I already made some decent money part-time. Mm-hmm. And I had the mentality, this is going to be my retirement plan. I'm a fitness coach. I work for myself. I didn't have, I don't have sick time, vacation time, retirement. This is it. I got to make this work. And so I was going to figure it out myself and I was going to make it work. And I knew there were some people that were professionals. I just wasn't being trained by them. Right. So I seeked out other ways of doing it. And I was talking to this one mentor that I hired and he asked me what I was doing. I told him, he was like, wait, you're doing this? You're trying to be like that guy? And I was like, yeah, he's like our top leader. He said, but you're nothing like him. Like, this is a big, tall, colored guy that, we are total opposites. And like physically, like in all different ways, what we like to do and stuff. He's like, don't be like him, be yourself. And I was like, great advice. Well, okay, be myself? Like, I don't know. He was like, yeah, when you start being yourself, you're not going to feel weird because you're yourself and your friends are not going to, they're not going to feel like you're weird because you're being yourself. And I was like, well, that's too simple. Let me try that. And so I started doing it my way and what felt good to me and just, having a conversation through text and, just kind of explaining it in like simple terms instead of the book with the script and all this stuff. I really just started, let me just talk to them like I'm just talking to my friend that I'm trying to help, with a product or whatever. And then things started flowing again because I was starting to be myself again. I wasn't like spamming products on social media. I just started doing things differently. And I've always been different anyway. So that felt good to me. I was like, I've always been the black sheep anyway. Why would I not do it my way? And then things started really picking up for me and I started getting ranks and things got better. So that I would give that advice. You again, go with your gut. If it does, now that feels good to some people. Some people have no problem spamming everybody and they're like, yeah, it's just a number scale. I'm just going to send the script out. And it works for them because it feels good to them. They're in alignment. It works for some people. Most people it does not work for.
Yeah.
You got to go with your gut and be yourself.
I agree with that 100%. I think just what you touch on and to interject a little bit is that trusting your gut. And I think I've gone through this battle in my beginning journeys in network marketing is that, you don't want to do these certain things. Like you just want to do things that were natural, like text and so on and so forth. But you have one of your leaders, if you will, be like, you got to get outside your comfort zone though. Like, don't call people. Don't text people. Calling them is the best way. And you're like, well, I'm just, nobody answers my phone calls. Can I just text them? Like, yeah, but you're going to statistically do better doing this and that and da, da, da. And you're like, well, none of that shit feels right. And you're like, well, Steve, in order for you to grow and, become a leader, you got to break down these comfort zones and you got to do all these things. And you're like, so you're like, is it really just like this mental gap that I got to get over? Like, am I uncomfortable? Like, go talk to random strangers in the grocery store. And you're like, I don't know. That seems weird to me, man. Like if somebody came up to me in the grocery store and started talking to me, I think that's kind of messed up. And like, yeah, well, that's just your narrative, man, that you just got to change your talk track. You got to get outside your comfort zone. You got to grow as an individual. You're like, yeah, but I don't know. I like, hey, those are some nice oranges you there. Do you keep your options open, by the way? I'm just like,
that's really
there's no way that talking to somebody in the grocery store is ever going to feel good to me. I don't care what kind of comfort level or uncomfortable level I get. Like I could be uncomfortable ever. I could walk in shirtless and still be not want to talk to anybody. So I think that's the gap is like, people just think, well, is this my comfort zone? I got to break through, like calling 100 people out of a phone book, let's say is the game plan from your upline. And then you're like, but none of that seems right. Like, I don't want to call random strangers out of out of the book. And then you're like, well, geez, is this just me having to get out of my comfort zone and grow as an individual and become my best version? Do I need to be the best phone call or like phone book calling SOB that there is on this planet to get success? Okay, I guess that's my comfort zone I got to get out of, you know? So I think that's the battle or that, you know, that I've had personally in the, mm-hmm. because you respect this individual that, yeah. you know, that's on stage and does all these things. And they're, you know, if whether they're your mentor, they're telling you to do these certain things, but then it just doesn't align with you and your core. Like you said, just be yourself and it should be natural. It should feel right. It should be, right. It shouldn't be like you're swimming upstream all the time. It should be something that goes with the flow. Sometimes I think you need to completely change the company you work for sometimes too. I mean, that can probably, mm-hmm. that can be part of the equation as well. But yeah, I just wanted to interject there because I think that's the mental battles that they pull on your financial heartstrings and then they're telling you that the way you are is why you're not successful. So you got to get uncomfortable and you're just like, you know, you're kind of like doing this mental toss up all the time of being like, well, this doesn't align with me, but I guess I got to grow as a person, you know, kind of mm-hmm. a little ramble here, but that's always so important is to definitely trust your gut. And if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. Like, you know, if you don't like wearing that hat, I don't know if that's just not you as a person, I don't know how much personal growth you can do to get over something that you just feel doesn't align with your values and beliefs as an individual. I don't think you can ever break your values as a person in order to get outside that comfort zone that they're trying to get you out of. Like if it's something you don't believe in, like you just flat out will never believe in it. Like if you're not, you know, if you're Christian, you're never going to be Jehovah, you know, for lack of better words.
mm-hmm. you know? At the end of the day, if you're out of alignment, you'll never manifest what you want. You have to be in alignment. It has to feel good to you. It has to be in your belief system. If it was not in my belief system, I was like, no, this isn't, of course it doesn't work, because if it was in my belief system, it would have worked. And for some people, that's why some people, it does work. They're like, oh, I don't look at it as anything but just another job. And it works for them because they don't have any. So it just depends on the person, but I was going to figure it out. And I thought too, I was like, well, maybe it's the company, you know, there right. for a while. And I actually was in 5 different companies, all small ticket network marketing. And each one was a little bit of an upgrade, was a little bit better than the one before. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to my last company, I realized, you know, it's not the company and it's not me. Like there's something else missing and I don't know what it is, but I'm going to figure it out. Right. So
right.
It just depends. Everybody's different. You have professionals out there and you have rookies out there, but I had to go through all of that, you know, the face-to-face presentations. Then we upgraded to Zooms and having videos. Like my first company, we didn't have a company video. We didn't have anything, but a face-to-face was the only thing you had, a phone. And so I had to learn all those things, but it gave me the skills and it toughened me up. And so, you know, later on down the road, if I enrolled a guy that's been in the industry for 20 years and all he knows is phone calls and face-to-face, I could do that because I've already been there. And so I appreciate and I'm grateful that I had to go through every single way there is to do this business and what works for me. And what, like the older guy, I've enrolled some older guys and it worked for them. The older crowd, they love the face-to-face coffee shops and they love the phone calls and that's how they don't text, you know, so it's good to be flexible and to learn these different things. It might not work for me, but it aligned with these people, you know? So again, it all comes back to us. We have to look at ourselves and what works best for you.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the other part is like people will, like they say, if you just never quit, you'll win, which is something that
sooner or later, like,
you will. But I think, like you said, you're with 5 different companies. So like, I like to look at it as like network marketing, you're never quitting on, but sometimes you need to be in the right vehicle that aligns with your values, or, you know, like, I don't look at it as quitting. I just look at it as pivoting sometimes, you know, if you understand network marketing and that's the profession you want to be in, you know, then maybe it's just the right product or service or company or community or whatever. That part just needs to be figured out after the fact. Like it takes a very rare individual, not rare, but it's not as common. And I think you need to see things from a different perspective to even understand network marketing for what it is and the potential that it is. I think that takes a truly, you know, gifted and, you know, individual, or some people maybe don't see it that way at first, but they eventually see what network marketing for once it is, once they're exposed. But I think it's important to understand the profession and then just find something that really, really works with you, that really aligns with your core values and beliefs. And, you know, it's not, like when people like quit, you know, network marketing, they're like, oh, network marketing is a scam. It's like, well, maybe you just weren't a financial advisor. Maybe you needed to be doing something else, or maybe you weren't a health and fitness product pusher or whatever. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of different professions within it, and you just got to find the one that works for you, I think is really important too.
Mm-hmm. Kind of what makes you happy. And because there's some people that have been in the industry 25 years and been in 10 different companies, and they're still not making any money, but they're happy. It's like, yeah, I just like to be a part of a community. I like getting my products at a discount, or even, you know, just making enough money to cover my products for free. And they're happy. People have different reasons why they come into this industry. And mm-hmm. you just have to find what works for you and why you're there and make sure that that's working. Exactly. And so when I got to my last company, I've been in the industry almost 7 years at this point. And I tell you, I am very resilient. I'm very loyal to things when I really mm-hmm. believe in it. And I gave it everything. Everything that I found last year, I invested over $25,000, like in 5 different coaches. My fitness training wasn't doing too good because of COVID. And so I was like, mm-hmm. you know, now I've got to make this work. I've got to retire. I got to be financially free. I was making decent money, but I was not financially free, and I wanted to be. And so I invested in these coaches. I was like, get me there. I want to get there fast. Like, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. You know, hired all these coaches, had a couple of different platforms that I had tried, a couple of different systems and stuff. I was going to try to figure out my own way of doing it, like a way that was like not sleepy, salesy, the way that my company and my team was teaching people. I was like, no, I want my people to win, and they're not going to win doing it the way that these people were, you know. I'm going to help my people
being coached.
Win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, let's go, let's do this. And so spent all last year trying to figure it out. Just was like, this is it. I was excited. I was like, I'm gonna get this thing. And mm-hmm. at the end of the year, I was, you know, comparing numbers and things, and I was like, I got to a point where I felt defeated. I was like, yes, I'm making a little bit of money. My people are not making that much money. You know, I the only reason I am is because I'm killing it every day, like as far as time. I was spending like 4 or 5 hours of my free time every day, every weekend, holidays. Most people are not going to do that. They're doing it part-time. They got family. They got kids. I'm single. I can do this. And yeah, so I was just like, what am I, like, I don't know what else to do with that wit then. I was like, I can't, because it's low ticket, your commissions mm-hmm. are low. And so you have to do a lot of work. You have to sell hundreds of products. You know, you're making maybe between $5 and $30 per transaction. That's a lot of transactions if you're trying to make $10,000 a month. Between you and your team. And so imagine how much time you have to put into that. And time is so valuable. And I was exhausted. I was burned out. I was just like, I don't know what to do, you know, and I didn't know any other way. This is the only thing I knew that was residual income that I had skills in. I've already have all this experience. I can't just let it go. I've got to figure this out. I've come too far, right? Not quitting. And so just toward the end, I just was like, I don't know what to do, but I'm burned out. I'm tired. I need a break. I need to think about everything, what I'm going to do, because I just mm-hmm. can't keep doing this. Like, it's not working. So I took a break. I took a couple of days to just like cut everything off, did a lot of prayer, meditation, just asked guys, like, you know, please remove all the things that are no longer serving me. And I am totally open to those that are. And within 2 days, you know, I'm a master manifester and I do these things fast. Mm-hmm. I let go and just gave it to God. And within 2 days, I was, without my knowing, I was removed from some of my team groups that I was in my company. I was mm-hmm. removed from my Facebook groups and things like that. They removed me because I was questioning their integrity. Some of the leaders and stuff like that.
Around,
you know, she's, mm-hmm. you know, trying to reveal what we're doing over here, because I, you know, when you're up there, you're seeing a lot of the stuff going on behind the scenes, and I'm not going to, you know, hurt people to make a dollar. Like, I'm going to be honest and truthful.
Right.
And they didn't like that. I was a threat at this point. So they removed me from Facebook groups and some of the other groups and stuff. And at first I was going to fight it. And I was like, how are you just going to remove me from these groups? I haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it and I was like, why am I trying to force myself to be somewhere that I'm not wanted? Why am I trying to force myself to be somewhere that I do not feel fulfilled? I'm not growing. I don't like the people that I'm surrounding myself with. Like, why am I fighting this? Like, just let it go. And so I just let it go. Mm-hmm. And within 2 days, a girl on Facebook that I've been friends with, she invited me to a mastermind, to another opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't open. I was just like, knee jerk reaction when she sent me, I said yes to a post of hers. I didn't even know I did. She sent me a link to a mastermind. I was like, no, I'm not interested. Knee jerk reaction, because, you know, I get invited to stuff all the time. I'm like, oh, not another one. And then I was like, hold up a second. I just told God that I was open, you know, I was like, what if this is the thing that I'm searching for? Cause I'm like, I don't know what to do at this point. Okay. I sent the comment that I said, no, thank you. And I was like, yes, please. You know, I'm open. So she sent me the mastermind. Got in there. And the first thing I wanted to do was to feel the energy of the people that were in this group, because energy will tell you everything you need to know about people, situations. And so that was I wasn't even really listening to it. I was just feeling the people and the comments and stuff. And I was like, the energy felt really good. The people felt really, people of integrity, of love, and like things that they were sharing just like resonated with me so well. I was like, wow, what is this? What is this? Right. So I'm paying attention more. At the end of it, I was like, I am in whatever this is. And that this was like 3-day mastermind. I'm only on the first day and I'm like, I am sold. I want in on this, whatever it is. And so I decided, I was like, I'm going to give this another shot. It was network marketing, but there was something different about this. Mm-hmm. I'm a conscious entrepreneur. I'm very conscious. I'm very intuitive. I come from a place of love. I do not come from a place of ego or scarcity mindset or a person of lack that chases after things. I attract things to me. And this is my core beliefs. And this is how these people were operating. I was like, this is so cool, you know? So I decided to get started with another. I was like, this is it. This doesn't work. I don't know what I'm going to do, but God's got me, right? So there was one big difference in what I was doing before. Everything was working before, except I didn't have any time and I was doing a lot of work, right? I was still making money, had a huge team and stuff, but I was killing myself and it's not duplicatable. Here, what I'm doing now, is it okay if I talk about this?
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the difference, and this is what I try to help people with now, because network marketing works. It's like business model. Leverage is what you need in any business. That's the only way you're going to save yourself some time.
Yes.
And so I believed in the business model. The difference was, this is high ticket, high impact, which means high income. Mm-hmm. So you're doing the same amount of work as I was doing before. In fact, less work and way more money. So you're building your business faster with ease and flow. And like the community, like you see so many winners and so many people come from a place of integrity and love and out there helping people when they don't have to. Like they're making so much money. It's like, we could just, you know, walk away from this if we wanted to, but they do it because they love it.
Yes.
You know, and we're here to, and I'm not doing it because of the money. I'm doing it because I want to make an impact with people, you know, and I was not making an impact before. But now, because we're at ease and flow and we're learning how to brand ourselves and we're learning attraction marketing, content creation, being who you are. And then the right people will just come to you because of the law of association and the law of attraction. And man, that's when you're in flow and that's when things come, you know, smoothly and easily to you. And that's always been my core belief. And so I feel like I finally found it. But it took years. It took years for me to find it, but all of it happened for a reason. I would not change a thing. But at the same time, I experienced it to help prevent others from having to go 7 years of trial and error and money and time. Like if I can save somebody from going through that, mm-hmm. and just know that there's a better way to get to your goals quicker and easier in flow, then yeah, there is a better way.
I 100% agree, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. I mean, you knew that that something was missing and you took the time to search it out. I mean, what I love is that it goes back to all this manifestation. I think after this podcast, Taylor and I will have to book a little manifestation call with Angie here, because apparently everything you think about turns out to be true. And I'm still trying to figure out what that is for me. So I think a little session might not be too bad to have with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And my mother is a master manifester, and I didn't realize that either. So maybe, but I know why now. And so,
right.
And there's some key things. And a lot of these manifestation coaches, there's one thing that they will not tell you. It's like, they'll tell you this or this or this, but there's like one key thing, but you got to get in the program to get it. And then it might still not work for you.
Right.
And it's really not that difficult. People shouldn't be charging for it. You know, you should just be, you know, if you work with the laws of the universe and understand that just by helping other people, you're going to be blessed. So yeah, I'm more than happy to help you.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. I mean, we're Taylor and I are full of like we have personal growth mindsets, obviously, and that's something that, I mean, truthfully, I think that's the biggest thing with network marketing that I think is the biggest blessing, is that like for me, I wasn't into a lot of personal development before I ever discovered the profession at the time, and you know, that's, if you can take the network marketing profession in comparison to anything else, the biggest component of it is personal development that you will not find anywhere else with any other employment or business opportunity. Is that these opportunities aren't just about, like, you know, flashing lights and make $1 million and do all this stuff, all that stuff. Like, sure, there's that income component, but when you really look at it and they break it down, the true people in the industry, it's like, you got to work on yourself and you got to, you know, build who you are and just all that stuff that has to do with personal development and your relationship with money and the law of attraction and, you know, just taking full responsibility for your life and no excuses. And just, I mean, we could ramble on about all that kind of stuff, but that's the biggest component about network marketing that always really stood out to me. And I think that's what always really, really kept me in, is because, you know, one thing that always stood out was that my exposure, I'm like looking around, like, why is everybody so happy? Like, where's this Kool-Aid everybody's drinking? You know, you're like, this is so, it was so bizarre. Like, you're like, okay, wait a minute. Nobody has to be here. Nobody's being paid to be here right now, technically. And everybody's happier than I've ever seen a group of 50 people or 100 people or thousands of people at conferences and stuff. And you're like, this makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to be here, but everybody is just happier than, like, than I've ever seen. Like, nobody actually has to be here. There's nobody forcing them. There's no employer. There's no boss. There's nothing. It's like, they're choosing to be here and they're so happy. I'm like, what is going on here? That is what intrigued me the most. It's like,
that's what kept me in too. The personal development kept me in. I was just like, man, I am so in love with personal development. Like, I just, And then that's when I took off with that, and I outgrew my team, and because I just went on that journey, and that's when I awakened. That's when I started doing the healing. I didn't understand all the trauma. I didn't understand manifestation. All that stuff I learned through personal development because of network marketing. So everything happens for a reason, but you're right. No other business or industry that I know really implements personal development.
Well, you know, I have a full-time job. I have a full-time job. Obviously, Taylor does too. And we can, and most people who've had any kind of regular employment job, take that entire building that you're in and be like, how many of those people are happy? And you know, you're like, Joe, Fred, and Sally are, it's like the 3 people out of 100. Holy crap. And then you take a network marketing group, the same amount of people, and you're like, everybody's happy and positive. So, like,
for the most part,
you know, so just that aspect alone for me is something that was so important, and why I stuck with it, because I'm a happier, healthier, better person than I've ever been. And I definitely owe it to the profession, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. It all depends on your why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's huge too. Absolutely. And I don't even think we really dove into that. I wanted to just touch on the Kool-Aid comment real quick. Not because Steve mentioned it, but because it's been decades of
the real thing.
People saying that. Yeah. And I was thinking about that earlier. I don't know why. Earlier this week, actually, I was like, Kool-Aid, cool. You got to drink the Kool-Aid home. Yeah, whatever. And I honestly think at some point, whether you're in network marketing, you're working a job for the rest of your life, which there's no problem with that at all. It's not weird or strange. I mean, we all got to work and make money. You got to sell out to something, right. But you drink the Kool-Aid somewhere eventually. Like you have to drink some type of Kool-Aid eventually, whether it's your own, whether it's Angie's, whether it's Steve's, cause he's got this business, or I've been a waitress for the rest of my whole life, or I've been in the fitness industry. Like you're drinking some type of Kool-Aid eventually. And there's nothing wrong with that, but hey, does it align with your values? Does it make you grow? Does it make you happy? Are you around good people? Like all those things, right? Are you making money? Are you making a difference? Are you fulfilled? All these things. I mean, hey, cool. That's the Kool-Aid. Keep drinking it. Right.
Yeah. I drank the Kool-Aid for many years. I was happy with it. And then the Kool-Aid got bitter. And then I was like, oh, it doesn't taste good anymore. And then that, because
you took the words out of my mouth.
And then you upgrade.
You upgrade. Right. Change the flavor.
Kool-Aid. Yeah.
I change the ingredients.
Now you're drinking wine.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, it's always good to leave people with some tangibles or some words of wisdom. And I know we just talked about personal development. So I think what I'd like to know, Angie, is what are the things that you do for personal development? We've talked about manifestation and a couple other things, but if somebody was a beginner, no personal development in their entire life, don't even know the word, never heard of it before, where would you get them to start if they were an individual that was like you, that aligned with, you know, with your core values, and also like, what are some of the things that you are like your musts, like your no exceptions, this is happening every day or every week, mm-hmm. For your own personal development and your own mental health that you have to have as part of your routine on a daily basis?
That is such a great question. And I'll tell you, a lot of companies in the industry, when you start out, they don't start you out with any personal development right out the gate. Usually they want you to make your list first of all, and they want you to take action immediately. They want you to try to start making money immediately without any skills, without any personal development, no mindset, no skill set, nothing. And that is a recipe for disaster. Any profession, you don't just, you know, somebody's like, hey, I want to be a surgeon. Okay, well, let's just go ahead and get your uniform. Let's start cutting on people. No, you got to get some skills. You better get some. Yeah. You got to know what you're doing, or you're going to ruin a lot of people. You're going to butcher up a lot of people, right? We got to know what we're doing. Slow down. And even if someone says, you know, let's go ahead and get you, start taking action. Let's just get you to, no, let's learn some things first. But I would, and there's two pieces of the personal development. You have mindset and skill set. And a lot of companies, a lot of leaders and stuff will tell you to go with skill set first. Like just, okay, we just want to teach you the 7 basic skills of network marketing. And, you know, we're going to learn prospecting, inviting, and presenting. And like, that's the first thing that they try to teach people is skill set.
Yeah, the system and whatnot.
Yeah. When really the most important piece is your mindset. Your mindset is not there. Skills don't matter. you gotta know why you're doing it. What, have a tangible goal, and then you want to get into the vibration of what you want to attract. So if you want to attract, you know, high caliber people, you want to attract more money, more health. You got to get in that vibration. So if you are, and then you want to, I like to tell people, you want to operate like you're already that person. Say your goal is you want to be a 6-figure earner or a 7-figure earner. You want to put yourself like you're already there. You want to operate like you're already that 7-figure earner. And so if ever someone tells you, I need, you know, do this, this, and this, think to yourself, would a 7-figure earner do this?
Right.
Would a 7-figure earner make a list of 100 people and spam their inboxes? Hell no.
Exactly.
Seven-figure earners brand themselves. They create content. They are professionals. So go ahead and put, that'll save you a lot of time. First of all,
go ahead
and carry yourself like that. If you're wanting to be this health fanatic, well, what do they eat? How do they work out? You know, mm-hmm. do they carry themselves? Like, do they already stand tall? They have good posture. They get good night's sleep. Like, they're already living that. Well, that's how you should be living. Like, you're already there. That's mm-hmm. going to help save you a lot of time. So mm-hmm. whatever that goal is for you, figure that out first. If you want to be that retired person living on the beach, how do they operate on a daily basis? Are they chasing after things? Or are they in ease and flow and just kind of like calling it into them and allowing the universe to bless them? You know, so mm-hmm. that, go with mindset first, figure out what you want, your goals, get specific with it, work on yourself. If you have a negative mindset, if you just doubt yourself all the time, if you don't love yourself, if you don't feel worthy, you need to work on that before anything. You mm-hmm. need to change that around, because you're not going to call anything in if you don't feel worthy of it. So let's work on that before we learn any skills whatsoever, because you're wasting your time, you know, because that's not. So mindset first, skill set second.
Steve, if we had a bunch of dropping bomb sound effects like Bradley there, we'd be dropping bombs.
Yeah.
I love Bradley. He's awesome.
Yes. But see, and that's so why we know you're in personal development, because, yeah, you know.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, he's up there. He's definitely up there. I just listened to him today, actually, and there's a sales guy. I actually forwarded Steve the link there. He's a sales guy, car sales, and he's just on fire, and his energy is unreal. Like, I don't even think Brad Lee could keep up to him, type of thing. He was just like, Bradley's like, whoa, wait, what? Like,
what?
It's cool. So anyways, that's off topic thing. But yeah, Angie, thank you so much for your time there. Steve, did you have any closing questions? I love that question, man.
The only part where I was missing to my question, and I'm curious, is just what's your personal, you know, daily must as far as your personal, like, I know Taylor, for instance, his gratitude journal is an everyday thing. He works out pretty much every day. I know for me, like, I read every day. I like to work out almost every day. I try to read my goals every day, certain things like that. That's, you know, I think that a lot of people try to do like these 20 personal development type of things all in a week. And that's what really burns them out, is because they think they need to do all these things. Like, okay, I need to work out. I need to read my goals. I need to journal. I need to read my gratitude thing. I need to do this. I need to do that. And you're like, whoa, okay, you're going to go from doing zero things to 14 things. Like, mm-hmm, let's start with one or two. And so, like, is yours, what are yours? What's your morning and evening or day? Like, what do you really need to have happen in your day for your own personal development, for you to be on operating on that frequency that you like to operate at?
I love it. So the first maybe two years that I was in the industry, no one told me anything about, we didn't cover anything about goals or any of that stuff. But then we never had a daily routine. Everybody just kind of like, do this in your spare time. Just do it. Fit it into your day somewhere. Right. And so you had no daily routine. And that's a recipe for disaster for anybody. We all need some type of regimen. We're made for that. Like, we like structure. Humans love structure. And so you need something. And so I like to meet people where they are. So it depends on if they're going to be doing it part-time, full-time. You know, I used to be asking, well, how many, you know, you're going to spend an hour, 2 hours a day maybe doing this stuff. But the basic things that for everybody that I try to have them do, one, you got to work on yourself, number one. So you can be trying to do all this skill set and all this personal development stuff, but if you're not healthy mentally, physically, spiritually, none of that matters. So you got to make yourself a priority. People put their work first, they put their family first. They put their church first. They put everything first, and then they have nothing for themselves. You got to take time for yourself. That is so key for anybody. And so I tell every day, you got at least 10 minutes of meditation or quiet time, even if it's in the shower, where you're just, you know, giving gratitude, prayer, something where it's just you and you. You're not you know, listen to anything. Just take some quiet time for yourself. Think about your day. Do that for yourself. And then...
I wanted to say something quick because it just resonates with me a lot. Tony Robbins says, if you don't have 10 minutes for yourself a day, you don't have a life.
Yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
It's just like, I'm like, oh, Angie said 24 10 hours, minutes.
Like, yeah, come on, man. Like, that's nothing.
So I'm the shower guy. That. It's funny you mentioned something about the shower. I'm the shower guy.
Yeah. That's a good time to, you know, what better time, right?
So I brush my teeth and then I chill and then I think.
Shower thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. And so start there. And then I tell everyone, take at least 30 minutes a day to do something active, whether it be walking. You know, some people are like, oh, well, you know, I've got health issues or I've got physical limitations and bad joints. And so, well, you can do something. You can do shoulder circles in the living room, or you can do yoga, or you can you can walk, or you can,
I mean,
swim,
even if
you're
just
bike
like,
ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sitting jumping jacks or something, like
that,
whatever.
That raises your vibration, and being in a higher vibration is going to attract those things that you want. So be active. Plus it's good for your mental health. You know, it feels good. After you move a little bit, even if it's just a walk outside, you just feel better. You're just like, I'm ready to take on the day, or I'm ready to send some, you know, messages out, or, you know, create some content or whatever. You're in a higher vibe state. So make sure that you get some 10 minutes for yourself, 30 minutes of some type of physical activity, no matter what it is. If it's parking far away in the parking lot and walking in the store or into your work or whatever, just factor it into your day somehow. And then at least 30 minutes of personal development. Start with mindset. You can incorporate skill set with it if you're just really trying to speed things up. Do 30 minutes of mindset, 30 minutes of skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, do like an hour of some type of income producing activity, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on what you have. But really, it's 80% frequency, 20% strategy. So 80% of what you do should all be vibration. Working on, you know, the foods that you eat should be higher vibe foods, like healthy living foods, you know, activity and, you know, meditation and things like that. All those are high vibe things. All those are raising your frequency to attracting those things that you want. And then 20% strategy. So you don't have to be online for all day long trying to, you know, make sales and stuff. That you're only 20% of what you're doing is going to be that is strategy. And people in the industry have it twisted, or where I came from anyway. Before it was 80% strategy, 20%. If you have any time left, try to throw in some personal development or throw in something for yourself. And that is so opposite of what you should be doing.
Yes, I agree with that for sure.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
100%.
Keeping your vibes high, being happy and in flow.
Love it. Well, one more question before we let you go here, Angie. It's always something that's curiosity from my standpoint. What is, maybe you have more than one to this answer, but what is the greatest book you've ever read as far as personal development goes?
Oh, you're not going to give me that one, are you? Oh my gosh, that's the toughest one.
Well, that's why I said maybe you'll have
more than one.
If I had
to pick one, book, everybody knows this book, and you might be surprised by this book. Mm-hmm. The Bible is the best book for personal development. Any life situation you ever go through, there's more than one scripture in the Bible that teaches you how to prevent that, what not to do, what to do. You can reference it all back to the Bible. And I'm not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual person. But it's all in the Bible. And sometimes we just don't know how to interpret some of the things that are in there. But when you do understand it in simple terms, you're like mind blown. All of a sudden, like, oh my God, you're like, what? What? I learned this stuff in, you know, in Bible study. And now it's finally clicking to me 40 years later. No, everything is in the Bible. So that's one book for sure.
That's an amazing suggestion. That's a curveball. I feel like, that's the first time I've ever brought that up, but I went to church and stuff as a kid, and I know that, the lessons that you learn from certain parts of the Bible are, if you just listen to the lesson and avoid all the names and the gibberish, like the lessons are so important.
The stories. Yes. All of it is just relating to our everyday life today. There's a story for everything that we're going through. It's like, oh my goodness. So that's one book, but some people might feel intimidated. It's a big book and there's lots in there. You can find the app
big book,
for that
small
to break
words.
It down. But I'll tell you, if you have a problem with your friends or family supporting you in your business, if they find out your personal development book is the Bible, they might be more open to what you're doing. That's just a little tip there. If you're like my mom, she's just like, what? You read the Bible now? No, just kidding.
That's funny.
So that book is really good. I have so many. And every day, like I was reading a new book today. And I'm like, this is my favorite book of all time. But it's just the one at the moment is my favorite one of all time, right?
So gotcha.
There's so many that I've learned, so many lessons. Learn the laws, the 12 laws of the universe. If you understand the 12 laws of the universe, you cannot fail. If you understand that and live by that, because everything is, there's a law for everything. And if you go against the law, that's when things go sideways. It's just like gravity. You cannot, law of gravity is a law. You cannot fight gravity. You can try to, you know, fly a plane, but sooner or later that plane's coming down. You cannot go against these laws. So if you operate from that, like the law of attraction is one, the law of reciprocation, you know, like things that you do is going to come back to you. If you understand these laws and you operate by that, you can save yourself a lot of time with skill sets and some of this mindset stuff. Yeah,
wow.
it's powerful.
I'm gonna have to check that out. I don't know if I've ever heard of all the laws of the universe. So that's why I like to ask that question, because anytime I ask that question, there's sometimes a book that brought up, like a lot of people would recommend, you know, kind of the staple of personal development, like How to Win Friends and Influence People and Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then somebody busts out the Bible and the 12 and the 12 rules of the universe. And I'm like, okay, now we got a little something different here. I like it.
Well, you know, what is the book that everybody always recommends when people come up? What is
How to Win Friends? How to Win Friends and Influence
that's
People?
That's one, and that's a great book. It's legendary. No, what is the money one? Think and Grow Rich. Okay, so Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
Legendary book. So amazing. But the traditional Think and Grow Rich book, they have left out one of the most important chapters of that book because they felt like the world was not ready for it, because it's so like beyond what the average person can comprehend. It would scare them away. So they took that chapter out, and that was like the most important chapter. Still a great book, but most people are not ready for that to begin with.
What was that chapter?
It's a very long book.
Yeah.
You'll have to find out. I can't tell you. It's a secret.
Okay. I like it.
Oh, you know, things like The Secret, that goes with the laws of the universe. Like, you know, it just depends on where you're at. I was recommended a lot of books when I first started, and I was like, I'll get to it. And I never got to it, right? Until I was ready for it. Like 2 years later, I finally got to the first book I was recommended. I read it. And I was like, oh, mind blown. This is so amazing. You know, but I wasn't ready for it. I wouldn't have got it 2 years before that because I wasn't ready for it. So it just depends on what you're ready for. As far as skill sets go in the industry, if you just, of course, what we do now, we don't need a lot of that. But, you know, GoPro by Eric Worre is like the Bible of marketing,
man,
for skill set.
It's amazing. I went to his GoPro event digitally last year, and I was blown away. And then all the free content that he, I'm going through First Steps, one of his modules actually right now, just as a, you know, learning just from The Godfather, like I referenced him to be. He gives you so much free content. Like, it's the best $400 that I've ever spent in my entire life for what you actually get. Not only did you get a 3-day event, but it's like, here's 20 modules from some of the best people and guests that he had in his industry, like stuff from Grant Cardone I mean, I could list off all the people, but you got I don't know. I've drawn a blank on some of the names, but there's so many of them. Frazier Brooks, he's a Instagram guy.
Yeah, I like him.
Mm-hmm. Brad Lee was actually on one of them. And then the dude from, that's the crypto guy, I can't remember, young Spanish looking dude. I can't remember his name, but he's got amazing content too. It's unreal.
All those are skill set though.
They are.
And the reason I recommend the mindset first, because when the first year I started, we had like a challenge. You know, 30 go re GoPro 30 times in 30 days. And so, and I had it on audio, of course. And so whoever, you know, read it the most times won. And I guess I'm kind of competitive. Never thought I was, but I wanted to win that. And so I listened to it 48 right. times in 30 days. And I know wow. that was back and forth, and I learned every skill, like actively experienced it over the years. And I had all the skills, but mentally there was still I was not there. And so, right. of course, all you can have all the skills in the world, but if your mindset isn't right, like if you don't believe in certain things within yourself or whatever,
yes.
it's still those skills don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
So true.
But if, it, but so if you're true. Ready for it, if you already have the mindset, yeah, definitely dive into some of that skill set stuff. You need both, yeah. but.
Yeah, they, if you don't believe you'll never achieve, it doesn't matter what you're holding in your hands or what.
That's right.
What information they give you, like if you. If you don't, if it doesn't work up there, it doesn't work anywhere.
Right. Money mindset. Many people just have all these negative blocks against money. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand that whatsoever, but people do. It's yes. People, you know, it comes from their upbringing, of course, I understand that. But
yeah.
like some people will literally block the abundance coming in. They have all the skill sets. They have all the things in place, but they have a block against money because they think, because of some incident that happened in their life, you got to get, yeah. you got to get that right. You better change that. Be one of the first things you work on. If you have some limited beliefs when it comes to money, if
yeah,
you
don't no
feel
kidding.
Deserving of it, or if you just feel like, oh, if I have this money, I'm going to turn into a selfish person. You better change that or call it a day.
Yes.
Cause you're just, you know, so mindset is so important.
I 100% so important. Agree with that. Well, we both agree
with that.
What are
some of you guys' favorite books?
So the first book, and to touch on books, there was something that somebody great recommended to me. I can't remember who the heck it ever was. It was fairly recent, but when it comes to a book, they say, you know, like I recommend Think and Grow Rich. Let's say you start reading 5-6, you know, the first pages, you give it a little bit of a chance, but if it really doesn't grab you,
yeah.
it might not be the book for you at this yeah. moment. That right. might be a book you read next. You know, yeah. that book should be something that really grabs you. But then a lot of people, when it comes to book reading, which also really resonated with me, is that a lot of people are like, I read Think and Grow Rich. Now I know the book. Now I've read it.
Right.
But you're like, and then you go buy this next book, and then you buy this next book. And the next thing you know, you got this library of 30 books that you've only maybe right. all read one time. And you're like, okay, let's go back. It's like being in school. Like, here's this biology 20 book. Now you read the whole text one time mm-hmm. and you know everything, right? Of course you don't. Mm-hmm. So like when you find that book that really resonates with you, whatever it is, whether it's the skill set or the mindset, you got to read it more than once, and you got to mm-hmm. read it enough so you really learn the lessons and stuff like that. So that was something that was really important to me, because I would just like, somebody'd recommend a book and like, oh, you know, again, you're like, personal development, I got to just read it. I just got to power through this. I hate reading. And you're like, well, no, I don't hate reading. I just maybe hate reading this book. I just
or maybe
need to
you're
find
an audio
right
learner
one.
And maybe you need to listen to it instead of try to read it with a book. Cause I'm not a book reader, but I learn through audio. So you read it to me and I'm going to retain it. So you got to find what works for you too.
Yes,
absolutely.
But you got to get to know, again, you go back to knowing yourself. Like, am I a visual learner, an audio learner,
right?
An aesthetic learner? Like, which way do I really retain the information?
So to answer your question,
right.
my first book personally that I ever really read that we haven't mentioned already that I think really resonates, I've actually read it, I think, three times now, is mm-hmm. The Slight Edge.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that one really resonated with me because of it talking about like every day you're either doing every action you take, you know, either you're either going closer to your goal or you're going away from your goal.
Yeah.
But then that invisible line that exists, which is like your comfort zone, and you'll do all these things and you'll start climbing, and then you'll kind of get comfortable and you always go back to that line, and then you'll dip back up, and you'll go back to that line, and then you'll dip back up, and you never create that consistent actionable momentum that is a steady climb. You always naturally dip back down to that line again. And I was like, holy crap. And you know, what resonated with me is like, there's either a beach bum or a millionaire inside every one of us.
Right.
And some actions are for the millionaire and some actions are the beach bum. And you want to do more of those millionaire actions so you don't become the beach bum.
Yeah.
That'd be my book suggestion, a great place to start, because most people's daily actions and I think where most people honestly have to start personally is that stop buying the story and the excuses and the BS that you keep telling yourself every day. Oh, I worked a hard day. So yeah, of course I'm going to watch 4 hours of Netflix. I worked so hard. It's like you sat at a desk all day, bro. Like you sat at a desk all day. Right. Like how hard did you work? You know, like you were at work for 8 hours, but like, did you work 8 hours? You know, mm-hmm. probably not. So like, you know, stop buying that narrative all the time in your head. Like, what's working too hard? Well, oh, I like my sleep. I like to sleep 10 hours. Like no grown man needs to sleep 10 hours. Like mm-hmm. you're not a baby anymore. Like stop buying those excuses. So reading books like that for me is just like calling out your actions that you've been taking your whole life. And like, you know, 3 hours of video games and then Netflix and then sitting on the couch and then all this other crap that you kind of throw in your mind as reasons why you can be justify your laziness. And I think that's a huge area to start for me, is that's not really a skill set. That's kind of a mindset thing, right? Because the mindset part is like, you tell yourself you work so hard, and every mm-hmm. human being thinks they're the hardest worker on the planet. nobody's going to look at themselves and be like, you know what? I'm the crappiest worker that's ever lived. I'm proud mm-hmm. about that. You know, like everyone thinks they're the best worker. You know, that's why people become grumpy at work and they think everybody owes them the world because they think they're the best. Well, your actions don't match that. So then
there's no growth.
Yeah, that was a huge eye opener book for me, because not that I'm terrible, like I'm not much of a lazy person, but I like to watch my Netflix sometimes. I've always been a video game guy. I've always liked to shoot people and play my Call of Duty and do that kind of stuff. I've always needed that certain level of violence in my life, I guess. I don't know. Kind of stupid, Chuck, but I guess it's always been a thing for me.
Yeah. Well, you and so many other people. Have you heard of the book Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza?
I own it, actually. I haven't read that one yet.
That's along the same line.
Yeah, that's on my list. I read Evolve Your Brain, what I think was the first one that I read of Joe.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, Evolve Your Brain, and I think they're hand in hand. One of them was too sciencey, and then everyone was like, "Can you dumb it down for us?" Yeah, and then he kind of wrote another one that dummied it down a little bit for people, because there was not backlash, but people felt like there was just too much
over their head,
sciencey over the head, terms and descriptions and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely one I'm going to read here too. All right, about you, Taylor, you got leave the audience with your book.
Yeah, there's a few, but I mean, hey, Think and Grow Rich is a great start as well, because of the first principles, right? The concepts. It's very foundational. I don't want to say it's outdated. I know there's, you know, revised copies, but it can just be a little, I don't want to say tweaked. Like, it's such a famous and incredible book. But anyways, without getting into it, that is great. I'm a pretty big fan of Gary Vaynerchuk. So his mm-hmm. book, Crush It, is really good.
Good book.
Other than that, I mean, I just need to read more. I'm more of an audio, more of a YouTube person. I'm reading mm-hmm. Unshakable right now by Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And it's in collaboration with Paul Malak, which is one of the top wealth experts, to give him a dinky title, in the world for the last several years. Or the past decade. So that's great. I'm about halfway through. It's more investing. It's a little bit of personal development because it's Tony Robbins, right? I mean, go figure. Uh-huh. But I'm a big investment kind of guy in my head, and just getting your money to work harder for you, right? We all work hard for our money. So yeah, I would just, without getting into too much more, I'd say those three: Crush It, Unshakable, and Think and Grow Rich.
That's such a good selection. Yeah. And talking about the Think and Grow Rich, if you go on, I'm a big YouTuber too. You can find a lot of audios on there. They have mm-hmm. a study notes version of Think and Grow Rich that is way easier to understand. And it breaks and it really just sums up and gives you what you like, the most important parts of the book, like in, I think, an hour and a half.
Oh,
they sum it up, or maybe 2 hours, but it's so worth it. I had a hard time really like retaining all the information of the regular book, but the study notes was like, oh, I got this. You know, it's like, so that's the one that I give a new person, because the other one, they don't even make it through it because they lose interest or they're not ready for it. And they feel like, oh, I'm lost. And then they give up and they're like, I don't want to read another book. This is too much. Because I think all bookers are like that, but give them something simple like a study notes version just to give them the key points they need to know. And yeah, that might help keep their attention spans there too, right? To get through.
That's true.
Yeah, good selection.
Yeah. And with a book versus audio, I mean, audio, it's easy. We all carry our phones with us every day. So podcast, YouTube, cool. Well, that's easy. You should be, if that's your thing, cool. Then do that at least every other day. With a book, if it's not close to you in proximity, if it's not on your nightstand, if you're not carrying it to work, you're not going to read it. Right.
You're just, you know what I mean?
And then you're on your phone because your phone's with you. And, you know, it's just, you're not disciplined. And it's been a week since I read my book and I'm in this chapter. And then a month goes by and you're just like, you lose everything. So,
yeah.
Like goes back to what you said, pick what you like, what avenue. If you're an audio podcast person, cool. Go do that. Right. Like maybe leave the books alone because you can find the books online digitally. So, anyways. Yeah, well, that's value.
Good stuff.
I can't not say this now, just real quick, 30 seconds though, is talking about the audio and podcast stuff is a great suggestion for personal development for me that I started doing as a shift, and I find it works great, is turn your vehicle into like your sanctuary a little bit.
I was going to say that.
You know, like rather than
turn the radio off.
You have that playlist. It's got 400 songs that you've listened to 40,000 times. You get bored of them. You skip. You're like, oh, not this song. And it's just, you're kind of like this. It's not really, there's no value there anymore besides maybe the odd song that pops up. But if you have an opportunity to just plug something in your ear, even if you don't retain it, it's still better than not retaining radio or not retaining that song you've heard 40,000 times. You know, like if you pop on an audiobook, pop on a podcast episode. A lot of people think like you don't have to listen to the whole book in one sitting. Like that's not the idea of turning your vehicle into a sanctuary. Just like you're not going to read a whole book. You might not listen to an hour and a half podcast episode. You might have to listen to it in chunks, but every time you're in that vehicle, turn on the next audiobook or the next podcast. Like it's because like I don't listen to I re-listen to our podcast episodes and many other podcast episodes, and I don't listen to a whole episode rarely ever, but the next time you get into your vehicle and they start talking, you're like, oh yeah, like you automatically, like you pick up where you left off, you know, like the conversation just continues from where it was off. You remember the previous 20 minutes or whatever it was, your commute to work. Like most people commute, like my drive to work is roughly 20 minutes. So that's 40 minutes of personal development every day just from driving. So if I accomplish nothing else in my entire day, I can feel accomplished that at least I got 40 minutes of useful time in on developing my mindset or my skill set or whatever you're listening to. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Yes. Awesome. I recommend the same thing. People say, I don't have time for that. When are you driving? Because you drive every day. When are you cooking dinner? Like you can fit it in. If it's an audio, you can listen to that anywhere.
Yeah. Multitasking is huge too. 100%. If you can overlap certain things, like, you cooking dinner, well, turn on that webinar you're supposed to watch or listen to the podcast episode you wanted to listen to, or turn on that audiobook or turn on Taylor Likes YouTube. You can throw some YouTube, especially with smart TVs nowadays. Like I can't believe how much I actually use the smart TV where I can like quickly YouTube video up and be like, oh yeah, this is cool, and then pop it on your TV while you're cooking dinner, so you kind of got the combo going. Like you can kind of accomplish two things at once. Okay, you're cleaning the house, awesome, you're tidying up some things, well, turn something on in the background that's useful. Like you can find time to add personal development into your life in the segments that you're already doing other stuff. You can just have it in the background. Like it doesn't need your full attention, it just needs to be happening. You know, you'd be surprised of what you retain when something's just happening in the background of your life, in a sense.
Absolutely. Especially if you love it. You don't want to get out the car. You're like, oh my gosh, it's too good. I got to go to work now. Oh, this stuff. You really start enjoying that personal development and then you're growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I fell in love with it. So,
me too.
Good stuff. Well,
thank you so much, Angie, for, being on this episode. with us there. We got so much value, and certainly, you know, our audience will get lots of value, and I appreciate your time. And I think there, I look forward to maybe another episode with you. I mean, I know you got a lot of stuff to share. I think we'd love to have you on the show for maybe a different, route a little bit with some of your background, and anytime somebody's open enough to sharing, I think that's important in itself. Like when you're somebody that's an open book and somebody that's just willing to be vulnerable and share a lot of that stuff. And you shared briefly some things, you know, on the podcast today. We could talk to you for 10 hours if we wanted to do it all in one podcast setting, but obviously that doesn't make sense for anybody. But yeah, we just want to, you know, send our appreciation your way. We love that you, you know, chose to be on an episode of Wiredly Inspired, and definitely appreciate you.
It's an honor. Honor's mine. Thank you so much. I look forward to doing it again.
Yes. Thank you so much, Angie. And Steve, close us out here, brother.
Okay, everybody. Thank you for another episode of Wiredly Inspired, episode 23. Please follow us. Leave some reviews on Spotify and or Apple. After the podcast episode, we'll make sure that we have all of our handles in there along with Angie's, so you can tune in and check us all out and see what we're all about. And thank you again for tuning in, and we'll catch you again on another episode of Wiredly Inspired, episode 24.
Take care.
Bye.